Live and local. This is Acadiana's number one sports station. 103.7 The Game. KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette. And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports. On 103.7 The Game and live online at 103.7thegame.com.
I'm Jim Gazzolo. I'm back for another afternoon. Every time I come in here, there's more action to talk about, more things happening. I can't believe today's news. I'm here with CD, the world famous CD, who also has for been clairvoyant of late. Did you see Stan Van Gundy coming? Let's get
no,
you started.
No, I did not. Hell no, I did not.
All right,
like,
there
that
we
was
go.
Something I did not expect to see in my wildest dreams. That said, I'm glad we're finally here.
Why? Well, what did he do to get fired after 1 year? He was in. Apparently, 1 year means you cannot be in the same direction as whatever direction the Pelicans are going in. And what is that direction? What does that train wreck look like?
It's a bad situation right now for the Pelicans. But
bad?
I think for me, you know, you asked me, why am I immediately just like happy about Stan Van Gundy? Here's the thing. I didn't want Stan Van Gundy in the first place.
Who'd you want?
Kenny Atkinson, former Knicks head coach. Because I felt like he got his head cut off a little bit too early over in the Knicks. And I think he had every chance to work with a guy like Zion Williamson. Young guys relate well with young guys.
Zion Williamson isn't going to be here.
He's not.
NBA players are not coming to New Orleans. It is a world where they want to market themselves. They want the big stage, the big market, so they can do their brand. New Orleans is not a brand city for the NBA. It's not an NBA city.
And that's what I've been trying to say to people for a while now. I'm completely with you that New Orleans is not a franchise city. It's not a destination city. It's a small market curse, and I'm like, when is Gail Benson going to wake up out of whatever coma that she's been in the NBA world and realize you weren't making money off of this?
No.
Like, you haven't been.
Where are you going to go? Where are you going to sell? Who are you going to sell? Where are they going to take the team? Is New Orleans a city destination for the NBA? Are a big three ever coming here?
No.
Is LeBron ever going to call his buddies and say,
hell no,
yo, let's go to New Orleans?
Maybe for like a road trip or something.
Yes.
But outside of that, no.
No. So if that's the case, you're not an NBA city. And I hate to say this because I covered the NBA for years. There's not many NBA cities. Boston is no longer a destination for the NBA. If Boston isn't one, why is New Orleans? What is an NBA city? Los Angeles? Phoenix, maybe. It's always done well with the NBA. But after that, where are you at? New York? Nobody cares about Philadelphia anymore. It's where can I get my market? Where can I bring my friends? Where can I have a good time, make money, and win a championship?
So what you're saying is, like, we're kind of just spitballing here. Would you say Los Angeles? I'd say
half of it.
Yeah. Well, I'd say to a certain extent both halves of it, because you've got Kawhi Leonard over there with the Clippers, making them at least somewhat relevant. Mind you, how much longer they're going to stay relevant is anybody's guess with them
relevant.
Being out for
somewhat
the rest of the playoffs.
Relevant.
Yeah. Well, hey, they haven't won a championship in how long?
The Clippers?
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah, there we go.
Ever. But they're the Buffalo Braves. They're the KC Omaha Kings at one time. They're the San Diego Clippers. They're America's guest for a while.
Exactly.
So if you're in this situation and an NBA owner, how many NBA teams realistically have a chance to win championships in the next 5 years?
I think you can count them all on one hand. And
exactly.
Off top, I mean, it's basically any team that LeBron's on. I'd say the Golden State Warriors, the Brooklyn Nets, with everything they've got in place right now. And then outside that, it's anybody's guess.
It's anybody's guess.
I mean, this year, you could, like, if everything completely continues to fall apart where Kevin Durant's having to basically be the guy putting the team on his back, Greg Jennings and Madden style, and we're sitting here seeing that, you could very well have an opportunity to see one of the worst NBA finals
one
on
the
paper
worst.
Of all
one
time.
One of the worst.
You could potentially, I saw this.
Does the NBA want Zion Williamson in New Orleans?
No.
No.
No, they want him to be part of a bigger team.
They want him to be one of a big three in New York, L.A.
Yeah.
I don't even think Chicago is an NBA city.
No,
it's a Michael Jordan city.
It hasn't been an NBA city since Jordan left.
It was only an NBA city when Jordan was there.
There were chances where they could have kept this thing going.
No.
But they just couldn't.
No. 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 I don't buy, unless LeBron was going to go there after Cleveland, it wasn't going to happen.
I think that there, at least, like, they would have been more of a relevant team.
They were closer than people think to getting Kobe Bryant.
Really?
That is true. I know that for a fact. They were.
Imagine having Kobe and MJ. Like,
it was Kobe. Kobe's two final choices, if it wasn't going to be to stay with the Lakers and Shaq wasn't going to leave, it was going to be the Clippers to embarrass the Lakers or Chicago.
Oh, okay. I was thinking more along the lines of when he got drafted. I was like, wait, what?
No.
Yeah.
This is the great sit down with Jerry West to save this fragile group.
Okay, yeah, now I'm kind of remember all this.
But yes.
It's mind-blowing to think about that.
And he would have become, I guess he would have made the first super team or tried to make the first super team in Chicago. That was kind of always the talk. But it was designed, I don't know, it's probably as much for branding than anything else, too.
Yep.
He was, Jordan is the ultimate early brand. Now we've got guys that are just going to play. I don't think there's any way LeBron goes to L.A. without thinking, I'm taking my brand and I want to be in L.A. for my brand.
Exactly. You're not seeing guys.
No.
You're not, like, especially nowadays, because you look back like the late 90s, early 2000s, the way the Spurs, they all stayed together forever.
Yes. And they won.
They were one of the most consistent.
Never
going to
happen again.
Exactly. It's never going to happen again because.
Especially in a small market.
Exactly. It's that small market curse, and it's mind blowing.
You couldn't get Kyrie to stay in Cleveland with LeBron James. You couldn't get him to stay in Boston.
Yep.
You can't get him to stay on the court.
Yep.
So what makes you think he's going to stay anywhere? So this is what we've become, and I don't think New Orleans is a destination city for NBA players.
It never really has been.
No.
It's just been that place where
if Pete Maravich couldn't save a franchise in New Orleans,
yeah.
Who's going to save it? Shaq? Shaq buying into it? If Shaq bought one, maybe?
Shaq bought one, he needs to move. If Shaq bought it, he needs to move it to Las Vegas. That's kind of where this
is going.
Well,
the race to Las Vegas.
Exactly. We talked about this a while back, about how it feels like it's just a race to Las Vegas to see who's going to land. It's there in Seattle. Those are where your next two teams are going to come from.
I would think so. I would think Sacramento's got to be one of those teams looking to leave. I know they were close at one time to Las Vegas, but they didn't like the whole brothers who owned casinos running the team at the time. But why you want to play in Sacramento? What does Sacramento bring? Now, Phoenix is an interesting place because it's a smaller market, but they were there before it became a big market.
Yeah.
So they have some roots that are there. Utah Jazz have roots that are there, but I don't see, is Memphis ever going to win?
No, not anytime soon.
Do people remember that Minneapolis has a team?
Probably not.
So. You want to live in the Rust Belt again and play NBA basketball in the Rust Belt? Those guys don't want to play there.
I mean, do people remember that the Grizzlies once were in Vancouver?
No.
Exactly.
Oh, they weren't even an American team.
Yeah, right?
They were a hockey team. Weren't they a hockey team in Vancouver?
No, I think that the Vancouver Grizzlies, wasn't that when
they were there.
Yeah, don't be messing with my mind today, man.
They were the hard floor Canucks, we'll call them. The hard floor Canucks. Yeah, the Grizzlies started in Vancouver.
Yeah.
Vancouver, British Columbia had two professional sports teams. Think of that.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the New Orleans at the time just had the one. And
there's some people that think New Orleans only has the one now.
Exactly. And it's not a knock against anybody, but it's just the fact of the matter is.
It's not a sales job.
It's just the fact that.
It's putting a hockey team in Phoenix. It doesn't work. It doesn't work.
Or a hockey team in Louisiana outside of that one time it worked in Lafayette.
Oh, don't bet. Ah.
Yeah.
Lake Charles had a hockey team.
But did it do anything?
It fought a lot.
But
a lot of fights.
But did it draw?
No.
The Ice Skaters did. Are the anomaly of the anomaly when it comes right down to it.
I went to some Ice Skaters games and brought my Midwestern hockey roots to games.
And you're talking about the original Ice Skaters, right? Not the bad reboot.
No, yes, the originals.
The original ECHL, man.
Yes.
Good times.
Yes. The problem with hockey is it's so expensive to outfit a team and move a team, and you got to play so many games in Alaska.
Especially I mean, especially when you think about ECHL, which back in the day just had teams from all
you
over the
place. You
don't
bring hockey to New Orleans?
No, that, they had that, I believe, the New Orleans Brass, if I'm not mistaken.
Did they really?
I think that was ECHL, yeah, because you had...
Wow.
You had...
Where did they play?
They were in the same league as the...
No,
as
but where
the
did they play? What was their building?
For the love of me, I'm going to have to look this up.
The New Orleans Brass?
I'm almost certain that's what they were called back in the day. New Orleans Brass. The ECHL hockey team, they were called the New Orleans Brass. They played at the arena.
Really?
They originally played at the Municipal Auditorium in New Orleans.
All right.
They existed for about 5 years.
All right. It's better than I thought they would.
Yeah. But still, like, you had at least four teams at one point playing hockey in the state of Louisiana.
Did they last longer than the Brow lasted in New Orleans?
Probably. I'd say especially the Ice Gators, because if we're being honest, I believe the Ice Gators wrapped up in, what, 2003? The one of the last years was, I believe, 2003. And they started back in, like, 95, 96. So, yeah, they were 95 till 2005, 10 years, they were there. And it kind of tapered off the last couple. But whenever it was at its peak in, like, the late 90s, it was at the top of the top.
The fact that we're talking hockey instead of the Pelicans
You started because you brought up Lake Charles.
I'm sorry, but
you
the
had
fact
Lake
that
Charles.
We're talking hockey instead of the Pelicans shows you the depth of the concern and the care for the Pelicans in this state.
Yeah, so we had I can remember it. I don't remember the Lake Charles team off top, but
I had a couple different versions.
Yeah. So you had the Ice Gators. I mean, I'm just thinking off top in the ECHL era, because you had the Ice Gators, you had the Baton Rouge Kingfish.
That's a good name.
Oh, the Kingfish were a really awesome name, but the team wasn't so good.
Put a crown on a fish, that's a great potential logo.
It was that, it was New Orleans Brass, and I can remember all the time they would have to play the Pensacola Ice Pilots. And they absolutely, every time they played against each other,
So basically half the league just threw ice in front of a name and said that's their team.
Yeah, essentially. Right. Like back in the, trust me, go look up at some of the stuff in the 90s and those names. It's like, and it makes you wonder. It still to this day is one of those questions that we always wonder about how that got so huge, especially in Lafayette. Like, Lafayette is far from, like, Hockey Town USA.
Something unique.
And somehow, it was something to do.
Something unique, something to do when there's nothing else going on.
But it was wild.
That's just the way
go
it
back
is.
On that.
All right, well, quickly back to the Pelicans.
Let's double back towards what we were getting down to brass tacks about.
So you reminded me. You didn't like Van Gundy to begin with.
No, I didn't like Van Gundy to begin with.
You didn't just like the hire.
I didn't like the hire. And I think it's the fact that all throughout the season, he kept preaching defense, defense, defense. The NBA is not defense anymore, right?
Not anymore. No, it's shoot threes and
exactly.
Try to hold somebody to a layup.
Exactly. Like, how can you have...
Well, shoot a three, you get a layup.
Yeah. Like, I'm sitting here, I've just been saying it for a while, like, the defense is not there. You look at the Pelicans all throughout the year, I think only probably... I can count on both hands probably the amount of times they had a game where they allowed under 100 points in a single game. Meanwhile, probably there's a lot of better teams that have out there probably same kind of thing. So at the end of the day, you can preach defense all you want. That's not the way the game is being played these days.
No, but
you've
got to
have shooters shoot.
So what comes in here? Well, first of all, is he to blame?
Oh, 100%.
Is this his issue?
100%.
So you think it's Stan Van Gundy is the problem?
I think David Griffin's the problem.
There you go. Okay.
Stan Van Gundy was part of the problem.
Is it even higher than him?
I think it's 100% him, because here's the thing. We bring up Gail Benson. Gail Benson is largely probably 85, 90%, if not more, involved with the Saints. She's spending all the time and all the effort making sure the crown jewel is running on all cylinders, if you will.
Yes.
What we're seeing with the New Orleans Pelicans is Stan Van Gundy may be the EVP, but he's the one pretty much running things all the way through. So at the end of the day, all these decisions and all the stuff that I've been hearing from him, it's like he just sit there and walks around on all the questions.
Then what is his philosophy? And here's the thing. You gave the man 1 year.
Yeah.
And now you say we're going in different directions. Well, didn't you have a meeting when you hired him?
Yeah.
And said, this is the guy, we're all going in the same direction. And what split in the last year, so you're going in a different direction? And what are you telling your star athlete, your star franchise guy, that you're going to have a third coach in 3 years? What are you saying to him about commitment and loyalty? It's out the window. It doesn't matter. You're going to go anyways.
Pretty much.
We expect you to leave.
I don't know about that, but I feel like there's just something going on with this franchise, and I feel like
why are you staying? Okay, give me a host city for this place. You want Las Vegas?
I think Vegas is the way to go because I think Seattle gets a is going to be an expansion team in the next like 5 years.
You want the NBA to expand?
I think they're going to expand to 32.
There's enough talent out there to get another good team.
Never said there was enough talent, but trust me,
I'd like it to implode to about 16.
The NBA wants to have, I think the NBA would love to have 32. And I feel like at the end of the day, Russell Wilson, he's going to be a big reason why the Seattle Supersonics do come back in the next 5 years.
Well, they got to have the name, though. They got to keep the name.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. They're going to bring back the name. Like, he's going to bring that whole thing back. And then you find out who that other team is going to be, where you would wind up putting it, which is really the $1 million question. Where are you going to drop this team off at? Are you going to make a Tampa Bay basketball team?
Oh.
You already have a hockey team in Tampa Bay.
You already have the Magic. Do you need a third NBA team in Florida?
It's a good question, but you know, you've also got Jacksonville having a football team, so there's that.
Yeah. How does that work out?
It's working better with the wrestling side of things on that family.
Well, there you go. No, I mean do you want to see another team come into the league where it ends up being we're going to go play at one of three places anyway?
Yeah.
I don't see Seattle as being a destination marketing-wise unless you can get Nike in there because of the Pacific Northwest. Yeah. I get that. But they've got Portland already. We're talking marketing here. And the NBA is the ultimate marketing league. Now let's throw something wild out there.
Okay.
Does China have a division eventually?
We'll probably save that conversation for a little bit later. We got to take a quick timeout. We're past due for one. We got John Hendricks joining the program in about 10 minutes. We'll come back. We'll keep the conversation going. If you want to get in on it, 337-706-0111. 337-706-0111. Back after this on 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station. And you're listening to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. Get in on the conversation. Call the game hotline, 706-0111. 706-0111.
All right, we're back and talking hockey in Louisiana because the Pelicans just don't interest us enough.
Yeah, you're the one that triggered the memory banks of you bringing up Lake Charles hockey.
So we've already said you didn't like Stan Van Gundy.
Yeah.
You don't like David Griffin, yep. Who, according to all accounts, his press conference, you've said it. We've had others say.
He said words.
Man who speaks words. Very good.
But he very much was just like, he babbling skirted aimlessly, around questions.
He was babbling aimlessly, it appears.
He very much could work out really well in a political office. Let's just kind of put it that way.
He did say something about a quote of we've all got to head in the same direction.
Yeah.
What is that direction? Is that direction a U-Haul and getting out of town? Is that direction?
I would hope so, to be honest with you.
Is that direction? Is there somebody in New Orleans, a Drew Brees type entity or group that would come in and save the team and run it properly? Could that even save it? Is there enough interest to save it if somebody like that? Suppose Shaq and Drew Brees said, I'm going to save this franchise. Do you have hope for it?
I definitely don't think so. At the end of the day, I think Drew Brees, great guy. I just don't think he's going to wind up wanting to deal with that kind of mess. And Shaq, I'm almost certain he doesn't want to become like an owner because then it's like, yeah, he could very well be considered to have bias when he's talking about the Pelicans on his NBA on TNT gig. So I'm sure he's happy doing that.
I think they have bias now when they talk about the Pelicans.
Yeah. But I'm saying it becomes a lot more clear.
At least they would be talking about the Pelicans.
Yeah. Exactly.
They fired their coach and very few care. Okay, you're Zion. You're sitting there.
Yeah.
Now you're going to have your third coach.
Fourth coach if you go to college.
Fourth coach if you go to college. And you're going to have to make it. Do you make a decision and say, this is what I want? Is this a time when you say, it's time for me to establish myself as what I want? Or is it time for him to say, I'm going to quietly sit here and create my own super team in a couple of years?
I think he's absolutely planning on just heading out.
So you think the exit, the eject button is, or his hand is already on the eject button?
His hand's already on the eject button. He's just, like, I'm serious, man. Maybe not his hand, but I guarantee his agent's hand is 100%. His people are 100%. Pointing him in that direction.
So you think he cares who the head coach becomes?
No, I think he absolutely cares who the next head coach becomes, because that's going to determine whether or not he leaves. Because I think if it's the right guy,
he can't leave until the contract.
Yeah.
Or they trade him.
And if it's not the right guy that he wants, he could very well start pulling the AD card and say,
it's a card that's been used in the city before.
Exactly. Goes back to CP3.
Sure.
Like it's mind-boggling.
It's a well-played card in that city.
No, it's a really good card. It's worked out quite well for those guys.
For them, yes.
I mean, you've had you saw Anthony Davis pull that card.
Yes,
he got an NBA championship.
He got an NBA title
in like the first year.
He got an NBA title immediately.
Yep,
and he got to go to the city, probably one of two cities he wanted to go to.
Yep,
he got to play with the guy he wanted to play with. That's what I'm saying about the NBA is it's the only league where the guy gets exactly what he wants.
Yep.
Aaron Rodgers may want to leave Green Bay, but he could end up anywhere on the spectrum.
The Denver Broncos.
But he doesn't have the right to. In the NBA, you almost have the right to say, this is where I want to go.
And I think it's the fact that it's more of an individualized sport because of the fact that it's
exactly.
5-on-5. You exactly. got, what, 12 guys on a roster?
And one guy can change everything more yep. than any other sport.
100%.
That's without question.
And the second Zion Williamson leaves, and one of the things, I've just had an ongoing conspiracy about the Pelicans.
There's a conspiracy about the Pelicans?
There's a conspiracy about the Pelicans.
You put way, way, way too much thought into the Pelicans.
Well.
All right, what's your theory?
Follow me here.
All right.
So you remember when CP3 got traded, they canceled that trade with the Clippers, all this stuff. And the NBA owned
canceled the trade with the Lakers.
Yeah, and the NBA owned the franchise at the time.
Yes.
Not too long after that, you managed to get the number one pick, and you get Anthony Davis.
Yes.
The Anthony Davis pulls that trade card all season long, and you know you're going to trade him this coming off season. And the Pelicans probably had a very low percent chance of getting that number one pick.
Oh,
in
you're
draft
not
lottery.
Saying the NBA would stage that.
100% they're staging this.
Look, the NBA, there is no
It's all
way.
To try and make the Pelicans continue to be at least somewhat relevant to get these future stars.
Yeah, but
they come and
why,
go for 4 years.
But now do you want them relevant now that you don't own them?
No.
The league doesn't want Zion here. They want him in a big market.
But I'm saying they're throwing them a bone, giving them another chance to try and recapture that moment.
They had,
had
a
CP3.
Couple of moments. They had a good week in a one yeah. series against the Warriors. They had one night.
And one good series against the Blazers.
They had a one night stand against the Warriors, and that was it. And now we can move on. And welcome to Vegas.
Yep. I can't wait to see.
Let's just hope they don't stop for some dumb reason in Albuquerque and pull up stakes there.
God, that'd be horrible. You might as well just
Not that I have anything against Albuquerque. It's just not Las Vegas.
Watch them. They could very well go to Dallas and make a franchise over there. They have one already. Sorry, Mavericks. I completely skipped over them.
Yeah, and we've almost forgotten about the Dallas Mavericks over the years.
Even with Luka Doncic on that team, one of the best
young players.
Apparently
now doesn't want to be there.
Well, I mean, they just fired their GM. Just stepped down.
Yeah.
Again, the NBA just dominated the headlines.
Maybe there's something for you. Maybe you get a GM swap. You don't like David Griffith, get a GM swap.
I don't know.
Maybe that's the direction he wants to go.
That's the direction he wants to go. He wants to go to
all
the Dallas
in the same
Mavericks.
Directions.
It just further proves to me.
I saw you didn't want Jason Kidd. Why don't you want Jason Kidd? What's wrong with Jason Kidd?
Jason Kidd just doesn't feel like he's going to – it doesn't do anything for me as a coach. He was a hell of a player. I loved him as a player. But as a coach, he does next to nothing. That's almost like if you were wind up able to get Phil Jackson – like old man Phil Jackson coaching
Jackson.
This team. Like tell me that team would it would just bring nothing to me if you
Phil yeah, Jackson
like,
I don't think
like
Phil
tail
Jackson
end Phil
could
Jackson.
Rebuild. I don't think Phil Jackson could rebuild a Legos house.
Exactly.
He is the ultimate finisher of a built product.
Yep.
Don't get me started on the great Phil Jackson. I've been in two cities where he took a team that should have won with the old coach, and he won with them.
Yeah.
Wow. And he gets all the credit in the world for it.
But I'm just saying, it's that reasoning. Like, I'm tired of people wanting to say, like,
would people show up for Phil Jackson?
I think people would probably show up for Phil, but it just feels like it's very much a small group of people because, let's be honest, I think Phil ruined his reputation a lot towards the end of his career with the Knicks.
Oh, yeah.
100%.
Yes, he did. Him and Isaiah Thomas have both died in New York.
Yeah.
As a legacy. That's New York is the legacy killer. The
yep.
Knicks. Legacy killer.
Yeah. The New York Knicks, to be specific. Not as much as the Brooklyn Nets or the former New Jersey Nets.
The Brooklyn Nets, formerly known as the New Jersey Nets, formerly the New York Nets playing on Long Island.
Oh, boy.
How's that for you? With the red, white, and blue ball.
Jeez. The ABA days.
See, I got to go back. I can go back to the ABA days.
Yeah, you were around back then.
I was a Dr. J fan, but when he was an intern.
That's awesome.
When he was an intern.
When he was an unpaid intern.
Unpaid intern.
You got to love the NBA. I'm sure the NBA would love to have unpaid interns these days.
Yes, playing. They would.
make it the G League, the unpaid interns.
They're trying to.
I'd agree with you there. We're going to take a quick timeout. We got our guy John J. Hendricks. He'll be coming aboard in just a moment. Talk some New Orleans Saints and so much more.
Talk the real team in New Orleans.
Yes, exactly. Before we take that quick timeout, let me tell you, we got some great stuff going on right now that you can enter in for a chance to win. And that includes you can enter for a chance to win Cypress Bayou gift certificate, $150 to Mr. Lester Steakhouse or $25 to Mabel's Kitchen at Cypress Bayou Casino Hotel. All you got to do is sign up today in the clubhouse at 1037thegame.com. We got more BTBS coming your way next.
This show won't protect your quarterback or cover downfield, but it's got animal control down pat.
Oh, if you see a possum, try to kill it, okay? It's not a pet.
Back to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Hey, you know, I actually saw a possum. My dog chased a possum off our fence the other day. Think about that. How's that for a segue for you?
I like it. I like it a lot, Jim.
All right. Are we ready to go to our guest? Joining us now with Saints News to talk Saints football, the actual New Orleans team that is competent, is John Hendricks. John, how you doing today?
I'm doing good, man. How about y'all?
All right, we're doing pretty good. No coaching changes with the Saints, I take it?
No. I think they're full steam ahead with everything that they've got. They feel really good about what they have.
What a quick question on this, though, is there any chance that the Pelicans are a drain on the Saints financially or anything, or you think they're just so separated it doesn't matter?
No, I don't think it's any type of drain. I mean, you know, look, they're big draws, obviously, and you know, look, bringing Zion was huge for this market and this organization, but they've had a rocky road at coaching, and they got to figure this one out. So hopefully they can, because, I mean, what a great way to compliment the Saints, but, you know, basketball's always falling short here.
Yeah, it's putting it politely. All right, let's get on to the Saints. OTAs, they survived them. What's the number one question coming out of the OTAs for you with this football team? We're settled on a quarterback for at least now. Where do they need to look, and where are some of the pieces you want to see get into place?
Yeah, look, I mean, obviously I think the quarterback battle is going to dominate the storylines, right? It's going to be the Jameis versus Taysom show. And, you know, look, I still think that Jameis is the guy that you want to go with if it's all said and done, you know, if the season started tomorrow. And look, I obviously it's just going to be good to see a training camp this year, you know, because obviously last year is so crazy on how the format was and not many people got to see it. And this year is going to be a little bit different, too, because even though fans can come, their interaction with players is going to be very scarce, if any, that is. And so, look, between that, trying to figure out some things along the offense, like who's going to be the number two wide receiver and three wide receiver, you know, I think it's Traquan Smith and probably Marquez Callaway to start, but, you know, who emerges? You're always going to have that training camp champion, and whether they hang on or not, that'll be something to keep an eye on. But, you know, between that and then defensively, you know, all eyes are on the linebacker spot in the secondary. Yeah. So it's Paulson and Debo ready. And then linebacker-wise, he's playing opposite of DeMario Davis.
Yeah. The one thing about quarterback is it seems like you almost want Jameis to win it because that allows you to keep the Hill packages in place and gives you more options going in. Is that kind of the presumptive thought, is we'd like that to go in because we get to keep Taysom as a big part of the offense?
Yeah, I think that's definitely the presumptive thought, you know, and again, how things unfold this season, you know, because, look, if that happens, then, you know, last year, the reason why Jameis went into the game as opposed to Taysom against the 49ers was because, you know, Taysom's role. So if you're doing that, that means you're using Taysom in the same capacity. That probably means you either turn into Trevor Siemian or you turn into Ian Book, depending on who wins that competition. So that's food for thought. And then again, you know, you just look at things that have happened. You know, I don't know if they're going to use Taysom as much as they did last year and packages. You know, I know he wants to play. I know he wants to get on the field, but, you know, they moved Juwan Johnson over to tight end. Maybe he takes some reps there that Taysom might have had. Maybe they compensate in certain ways. But, look, it remains to be seen how it's all going to play out. But, you know, one thing that I've learned is no matter how the chips fall, it is going to be hard to keep Taysom Hill off the field.
Kevin James playing the role of Sean Payton. Do you see that? Is that a compliment for Sean Payton?
I guess so. You know, Kevin James is a funny guy, so I guess maybe it's more of a, I don't know if it's a serious role or if it's satire really that they're going for. But, look, you know, I mean, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. I saw a picture of him in coach's outfit, and, you know, Sean back then was a lot less or a lot more lean, I'd say that. So, look, yes. I mean, no disrespect to Kevin James, but, you know, I think he'll do just fine as an actor in that role. But I'm interested to see how they go about the film.
Yes, and Sean Payton has actually got a part in the film, a small part. Okay, Sean Payton is considered a genius with quarterbacks, plays, and all that. Do you think he's relishing this moment that he doesn't have Drew Brees and saying, I got now more packages, I got more toys to play with, hey, don't count me out?
You know, I think maybe it's a half mix because Sean is a genius, and I saw something that somebody was talking about. I think it's Pro Football Focus. They've been all sorts of controversial lately with some of their takes, but, you know, they came out and said that the top five play callers, and they left out Sean Payton. I was
really?
Like, that doesn't seem right, you know what I mean? And so between that and, you know, Sean's always has a chip, I guess, or something there that he wants to make sure he's the smartest guy in the room, and he backs that up constantly. So now it's going to be one of those. I mean, obviously he had a great relationship with Drew, and there's a lot of things that they built together here in New Orleans, but, you know, it's a new era. I think that challenge is very exciting, and I think for him it can also be reinvigorating. So I'm excited to see what happens there.
John Hendricks is with us from Saints News, and I don't know about play calling, but I definitely think Sean Payton is one of the top two or three when it comes to game planning. So I would think that there are opportunities now within a game plan that are different, that will be fresh for guys that they're going to have to go against him.
Yeah, look, I agree. And the thing is, whether you have Jameis or Taysom in the quarterback mix, you know, they're going to be able to stretch the field a lot more. They're going to be able to do some different things, the offense, that we hadn't seen in years. And again, you know, it was one of those things where Drew just kind of basically came in there and said, hey, these are things I can do, here's the things I can't do. And they kind of evolved and ran the offense that way. But now I don't think there's either, you know, many limitations with either of the quarterbacks. You know, you're just assuming you get the same type of protection, the run support. I'm excited to see how this offense is going to the run and shoot offense back in the 90s, the Oilers. I just think it has some good, desirable qualities, but I think there's obviously some question marks we want answered. And if we get those answered, then look out, the Saints team could be really scary on offense again. And, you know, without disrespect to Drew, it could be a very potent top 10 offense again.
And I'm sure everybody's looking forward to having fans back in the stands in abundance this year. And that actually makes it a much tougher place to play.
Yeah, look, I think, you know, I was asked a lot last year, you know, what's it like, how things were going. And I said, you know, you're never going to get used to an empty Superdome. And I know it was something when they had 3,000 or 6,000 or whatever you want to call it, but it just doesn't replace a 70,000 plus venue that is screaming, just loud as everything, the music, everything, the fans.
You still there? Is he still there? I think we lost John there for a minute.
Give me one second.
Yeah, we'll try to get him back. But interesting, one thing I wanted to get to him about is, you know, people forget that the Saints actually beat up on the Bucks pretty well. Is he back?
Yeah, I got him back.
All right, John, you there?
Yep, sorry about that.
That's all right. I just I wanted to say that the one thing is people forget about this team is they beat up Tampa Bay twice last year. And I think people have forgotten how good they were last year, especially against the Buccaneers, except for that last game. They've kind of overlooked the rest of the season. Do you think the Saints are coming in under the radar a little bit because of that last game?
Yeah, I think so. I know they're not going to be favorites to win the division, and I understand that. It's Tampa, division Super Bowl champions. You don't have Drew Brees, obviously, and so there's a lot of things that you're going to have to answer real quickly. And the Saints are a team, you know, they don't start off on the hot foot. I mean, they're going to probably struggle a little out of the gate. That's just how it normally happens. They hit a mid-season stride and a streak, and I could see something similar for this team. And so, look, I don't know if they're going to win the division. It would be something if they won a fifth straight. But, you know, look, with the way the playoff format has shifted and things have changed, it doesn't necessarily matter if you win the division.
No, Tampa showed that.
I mean, there's only one bye up for grabs. So, look, it'll be interesting to see how they fare. But I know they're under the radar. They'd sneak in as a lower wild card seed.
Yeah, I mean, Tampa Bay showed it last year. They lost twice to New Orleans, came back in the playoffs and won, and didn't win the division. So that really doesn't matter. Outside of Tampa Bay, is there anything in the division that interests you? It seems like without Julio Jones, the Falcons are taking a different road. We don't know what's going to happen with the Panthers, really. So is it really a two-team race?
I feel like it is right now. I think Atlanta, with their rebuild with Terry Fontenot, it's probably not going to pay off much this season. You might start to see some improvement from Atlanta. I think you're going to see a pretty big leap from Carolina. But, you know, again, they could be somebody to keep on your radar as a wild card team. You know, but it's also going to depend on Sam Darnold and the health of Christian McCaffrey. Because when you saw last year, McCaffrey went out. And obviously Mike Davis did a great job filling in for him. But this year, if they lose their best weapon offensively, I know Bridgewater gets a lot of hate or dump or blame or whatever, but he had 3 1,000-yard receivers. So
yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how he keeps up going. But I think Carolina would get my odds to be the team to watch there in the South.
Before I let you go, I try to ask everybody this one question. Where's Aaron Rodgers playing opening day? Does he face the Saints?
Yeah, I think he does. I think everything will work itself out. And, you know, I just think everything's starting to fall in place right now. So, you know, it will if it's not. And Rodgers will be there week one. He'll be playing the Saints, and we'll see how much that game actually matters in the grand scheme of things.
No chance he's playing for the Saints.
No, I don't buy that one. No, I just don't think anything from the cap perspective. I mean, it's not out of the realm of impossibilities, but realistically, I don't see that. It would be a pipe dream and a half, and if that happens, boy, they're going to second line down bourbon in a heartbeat for that.
John Hendricks, thanks for being with us. Saints News, we'll talk to you later on.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks. Interesting. Doesn't think he thinks Aaron Rodgers is staying put. I still think that bridge has been burnt.
That bridge may be burned, but I feel like there could be a chance where they
you're
just say,
rebuild it?
No, well, they're just going to say, hey, you're on our team, deal with it, right?
If he wants.
Like, because you know, like, and if Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to show up, you know, just take the fines, right?
Yeah.
That's all
take
we can
the fines
do.
To go play Jeopardy.
Do, 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 do. To go host Jeopardy, that'd be great, actually.
Be awesome. Hey, I'd love to see it.
Oh, no, he was pretty
good. As a Bears fan, I'd love to see it.
He was pretty good to start, I'm not going
to
lie.
So, I'd just love to see him.
Yeah, I know you would. You'd love to just never see Aaron Rodgers again
never
in the NFC
Never see him in that uniform again. No.
Just you'd much rather Jordan Love be running things.
I'd yes, anybody.
Well, we're going to take a quick time. We're going to take a quick timeout, excuse me. When we come back, we'll wrap up hour number one. Cajun's Deputy Director of Athletics, Nico Yanko, he'll be coming on the program in a little bit. Talk about the Cajuns and their big announcement yesterday and so much more here on Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com. Also simulcast on Stadium 32.3 and 133 on LUS.
Gridiron
debates never go out of style on Bumper to Bumper Sports. But feel free to be right anytime you're ready to start on 103.7 The Game.
Welcome back to Bumper Sports here on 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com. Let me tell you something. We got some awesome things going on KDCG-TV, and that includes the return of the Le Bon Temps Relay music TV show. That'll be kickstarting tomorrow, on Thursday, June 24th. They'll be performing live at Pombro's Cajun Restaurant featuring Troy Lejeune and Cajun Review. The show's going to be starting at 7 o'clock, and it's a free event. For more info, go visit KDCG.com. How about that, Jim? That's some good stuff, man. Not going to lie.
That is some good stuff.
We got that. We got Swamp and Roll Music TV show.
And, you know, I'm really a little upset because I'm not actually a host.
Yeah.
And yet I am not allowed into and was not allowed into the tickets for the White Sox Astros.
Well, I'm sorry.
I thought, you know, something under the table maybe. You know.
Well, I mean, I thought we were in the under the assumption, Jim, that you already had tickets.
I have tickets for a game.
Yeah, but I'm saying.
I could have tickets for another game.
Yeah, but I'm just saying.
I could always sell tickets if I get free tickets.
So you are going to the game this weekend.
I am getting a Father's Day gift of going to a game.
Nice.
Yes, it is.
And it's a perfect time to go do that because one is Father's Day weekend.
And two,
all that torrential rain that'll be coming over the weekend.
Just, you know, just more fun anticipated in Lake Charles. More fun.
I don't know about that.
We have now, I was asked the other day if I could trade in my car for a boat. That should just tell you where we're at in Lake Charles.
Let's see, you should just get like a jet ski at this rate.
You know, I thought about a jet ski, but have you ever seen, I don't think I'd look good on a jet ski.
Well, it's not about looking good on a jet ski, honestly. Like, it's all about having the jet ski. It's all about having the confidence.
The problem with the jet ski is the optics of when I fly off the back of the jet ski.
Well, the key is not to fly off the jet ski there, Jim.
I think that's the issue.
Especially since you're going to be the one driving the thing.
Yes. And then playing catch up to it would be a visual nightmare.
Oh,
how's that for you?
About as much of a visual nightmare as it is the New Orleans Pelicans franchise right now, right?
They nicknamed the train wreck. Is that what we're gonna nickname them?
I mean, you can nickname them whatever you want, right?
I don't know where to go with them. I don't know where they go. I don't know what direction they want to go in. Do they go Witherspoon and become the kind of the?
I think he already kind of shot that down though.
But that would make you more of the novelty act, and I don't know if she's ready. I don't know if the league's ready yet. But what I do know is that is a team in desperate need of some direction. And you can't just keep – you can't change coaches every year. Good franchises stick with a guy through a bad year and say, he's our guy, and make the players fit at some point in time. Yeah, right now, I don't know. I don't know what you got.
It's gonna be fun to see what happens there.
What you've got is an absolute mess.
Oh, that's an understatement.
And the problem you have in the NBA is it is not a league that you can flip a team that quickly. It's really not, because so many things change, and the big markets always be the big markets. The Lakers are always every 4 or 5. They may have some down years, but they're always going to be a destination place. And
yeah,
really, I hate to say this, but besides the Lakers, is there anybody you really want to watch in the NBA all the time?
Not really.
Now, the Phoenix Suns are fun.
Yep.
Or they were.
Yeah. Now that CP3's got COVID and he'll be out.
Now that he's out indefinitely.
Yeah.
It's probably good that they got their sweep.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's that whole 10-day thing,
the thing about COVID is, though, what we've seen is it's never one guy.
It's always multiple.
It's always one guy and then who he hung out with and then who he hung out with. And now you've lost 5 starters. And it's just, you've got that. You got no Kyrie or no Kawhi. When's he out for? When's he coming back? Is he going to come back?
Yeah.
Are the Clippers watchable without him? The league probably wanted the Clippers Suns. Now they've got the Suns without Chris Paul and Utah.
Yeah.
Is that what they want?
It's tough to kind of think what they really want. I know we'll talk with Christian Clark around 6 o'clock, kind of getting into the brass tacks And after all, he was there. He got to hear the press conference with David Griffin.
Man of words.
Man who said...
Speaker of words.
Speaker of words. And if those words had any value to him, I think that's a different question, different conversation.
And what you've parlayed to us and what I've seen and what I've read here, they want a different direction. I don't know if you make a U-turn on a highway because you're going the wrong direction, but you're always going the wrong direction. Do you have a direction you want to go in? What is the direction of the franchise?
I think it's just trying to keep the head above water.
Can you make it to where somebody wants to come here and play?
It's going to be tough. It is going to be very difficult.
And who's the possibilities?
We'll try and figure that out all throughout the next 2 hours of the show. We got more B2BS coming your way in just a little bit.
Live and local. This is Acadiana's number one sports station. 103.7 The Game. KLWB, Karen Crow, Lafayette. And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports. On 103.7 The Game and live online at 103.7thegame.com.
We're back, and joining us on the line is Nico Yanko, University of Louisiana Deputy Director of Athletics. And Nico, how you doing today?
Doing wonderful. It's a great day in Lafayette.
I'm sure it is for you.
A great time to be a Raging Cajun.
I'm sure it is for you. A lot of talk today, obviously, about donation you got. Some people call it a donation. Some people say it's naming rights. But essentially, you're going to change the name of the stadium, and you're going to get a windfall for your programs. Is this what we're seeing now to kind of keep up with what happened with the pandemic, or was it something you guys were working on before that?
You know, this process to get this historic gift and partnership with Our Lady of Lourdes started a little over 18 months ago, and that's really when the dialogue picked up. And we actually continued that dialogue throughout the pandemic, and just from a timing perspective, it just worked out that we were able to wrap up and really announce the monumental investment into not only our education football program, but into the university and our entire Acadiana community. So something that we've been working on for quite some time.
Obviously a huge deal for you guys, because it's one way to combat what we've seen, which is everybody's in a fight for money in the entertainment dollar. Everybody's fighting over every bit of cash they can get in sports right now. This is one way to partner with somebody that's going to be a long-term commitment to you, isn't it?
That's right. You know, this is a 15-year commitment, you know, $15 million over a 15-year period. And I'll say this, look, of course, we're always looking for new ways to generate new revenues and get more, support from local folks, whether that be just investors, you know, donors, sponsors, season ticket holders, whatever that might be. But I'll tell you this, Our Lady of Lourdes has been a partner of the Raging Cajuns and the entire university community for over 30 years. And I think this is just something to continue to tie the two massive cornerstones of our community together. And we're really excited about what this does. We've always reached out to Our Lady of Lourdes, whether it be through the Catapult program or our opportunity for rehab for student athletes. But this is one thing right here that they really believed in the vision of what we can do here with the renovation of Cajun Field. And we wanted to certainly present them with that opportunity, and they believed in the vision, and now we're on the way here to something, you know, that we've been waiting for over 50 years to do here with Cajun Fields.
For you guys, how important was it to have somebody, a local business, kind of be important to be partnership with, because it keeps everything in the area, make sure you're both committed to the community? How important was that step for you?
You know, again, going back to the long history between Our Lady of Lourdes and Raging Cajuns Athletics and the university, I think it's just such a perfect marriage and a perfect partnership that we would end up, you know, doing that with someone like this. And that's where I think it just makes the most sense. We're incredibly grateful for that. But to your point, you know, I think that just makes it that much more special that, you know, folks here in this community really believe in the direction we're going under Dr. Savlaw and Dr. Maggard, that they were willing to commit to something of this magnitude to truly transform, the Raging Cajuns Department of Athletics, this football program, and again, our university and community. And it's just great to see that two massive, again, I keep continue to say cornerstones of our community, continue to propel what we think is something going to be really special for everybody here in Acadiana.
And obviously all the talk is about what it will do for the stadium and the upgrades you want to bring to the stadium. With that in mind, is that important for the university to take kind of a football step in the next direction as everything kind of sorts out as we look to the future where Power Fives are and where everybody's going to be to kind of stay in place and kind of make yourselves more relevant with the better facilities?
Yeah, you're always looking for opportunities to improve. And we know that, you know, the facility arm race is one of the many arm races in athletics, particularly in the football space. But this was one thing that we know that can be what we think was probably the missing gem, if you will, to the sports complex for us to not only provide great fan and game day experiences, but get the national attention that we want around our university, as we really believe we're a marketing vehicle for the whole university, everything at UL, and also of Acadiana. So we knew that this was a missing link that we had to figure out how to get that done and to start propelling this project forward is something that's really exciting, but also gives us new revenue opportunities. It gives us opportunities to do more with the footprint that Cajun Field sits in, right? So when we fully renovate this and it's Our Lady of Lourdes Stadium, this is going to be a really special, you know, part of our ecosystem, if you will, for not only fans on game days, but things 365 days a year and 24/7, right? So this is going to go much further reaching to helping us be a cylinder of the economic engine of Lafayette, but also one thing that we think is most important here, most mission critical, is the resources that this will provide our student athletes experience. And that at the end of the day is what this is all about for us, is to provide an opportunity to develop and, you know, train and grow young people.
One thing, and I come from Lake Charles, so I deal a lot with McNeese, and they're going to, after everything they've been through, as they do their upgrades, they're talking about using their facilities in other ways to generate not only revenue but interest in the university. You mentioned that yourself a little bit there. Is that what you guys are looking to do too with Cajun Field, is make it a focal point for not only football but for the university itself and for other events?
Absolutely. You know, if you're talking about the ability to utilize that for only 6 home games a year, I think you're missing out on a tremendous amount of opportunities that can present themselves to drive foot traffic to our beautiful campus, right? To tell the story of the culture of Acadiana, right? We have so many opportunities to be an entertainment center for, you know, Lafayette, Acadiana, and even the state and region. So this is something that we've been talking about, and we constantly try to toy around with some of these things, but we believe this venue is something that's going to position us to attract more patrons and fans and just regular day-to-day foot traffic to our sports complex, but also to provide more eyeballs on what the University of Louisiana is really doing and the mission of our institution.
We're talking to Nico Yanko, Deputy Athletic Director at the University of Louisiana, and talking a lot about the money they just got and a gift from Lady of the Lourdes. I guess the biggest question to you first off is, what are the things you want to get done immediately to upgrade the facility as a starting point? Do you have like a phase you're going to go through, or what's the first thing you want to do?
You know, first things first is, you know, now the real work begins, and we get an opportunity to go out here and continue to utilize this to propel us and focusing on the renovations, whether that be finding some more investors into the project, but also understanding the full scope and focus of what we want the bells and whistles to be of the project, the functionality. We know we want this facility to be very efficient and functional, right? And going back to the ability to utilize this 365, 24/7. So we'll start with that process first, and really that's the first move you have to make as we look, you know, to develop this over the next bit of time here to continue to, again, propel this project forward.
Is this the first of, you think, many namings, or is this a unique one because it's football, or are you always looking to see what else there's opportunities for?
I think that, you know, to give credit to Our Lady of Lourdes, they knew that this was a massive opportunity, and because of the visibility of a venue, right? The visibility to name the stadium, right? You're going to get your logo on the outside of the venue. It's going to be on the interior. It's going to be on the field for them. So this is some special opportunities here, and that's where I think this will be probably one of the most visible. But there's certainly plenty of other naming opportunities, and we hope that our friends here in Acadiana and our investors and everybody, you know, around, whether that be businesses or individuals, provide us that opportunity to come visit with you over the course of the next few months here and present you with those opportunities. And again, be a part of something special, right? This is going to be a very special project. Community at large, this level of a construction project, that's going to be having a massive amount of economic impact to all of the businesses here in Acadiana. So this is really an exciting time to be involved and be a part of what we're doing here at UL.
We hear a lot the last year, especially about financial problems at bigger schools, bigger universities, bigger conferences, obviously trickling all the ways down through mid-majors and below. Is it now almost a matter of survival that you have to come up with new ways to create revenue for athletics if you want to compete on that level?
I wouldn't say necessary for survival, but you know what? I mean, you're always that it takes resources to position sport programs to go and compete for and win championships. We know that. To build great programs, it takes resources. And we're always finding new ways to generate new revenues, continue to grow the brand of the Raging Cajuns. Because, again, not just about what athletics can do for you know, what we do in our sports complex, but it's bringing eyeballs to our institution and the fact that we're a marketing vehicle. Mark Savoy and his leadership team for the entire University of Louisiana. And that's what makes this so exciting, right? Is there is an opportunity, but it's right now, okay? And that's mm-hmm. where we want to really energize Cajun Nation to participate, get involved, you know, get involved by purchasing season tickets. If you're a business, buy the corporate season ticket package for $1 a ticket. Get involved as little as $4.17 a month. You can be a member. And I know a lot of folks, you know, that's giving up one Starbucks coffee or one beverage at Corner Bar, right, a month. That's all you got to do. And if we can all get on board with moving this forward, the sky's the limit here for Raging Cajuns and the entire university community.
Where are you guys trying? I mean, we've all heard about the positioning of and the Power Fives and where everybody's going to be in the future. Where do you want to see Louisiana University of Louisiana be in 4 or 5 years as all this breaks down? What position are you looking at for your university?
I think ultimately, and this starts at the top with Dr. Savoy and Dr. Maggard, so I don't want to speak on their behalf, but I will tell you for us, it's the opportunity to continue to compete for championships. Going out there and winning championships, when you win a Sun Belt championship in football like we did this year, that's massive. When you can go to bowl games and win those every year, right, that's massive. When you can compete for those games on with these national attention, right, when you're a ranked football team, those things are great. So for us to continue to operate in that space, not just in football, but across the board, right, you got a great layout of all of our sport programs. Men's basketball is having a great opportunity this year with the roster Bob Marlin's putting together. Women's basketball just won the conference for the first time in their 50-year existence this past year. You got a brand new volleyball coach. You have some tremendous opportunity with our soccer program with Lance Key. And I haven't even started talking about the diamond sports, right?
Yeah.
Our track program's done amazing job this year as well. So we are what I like to think of, you know, serial winners in a sense, to where we can win across the board here. And I think that's what you focus on. And that for me is what we continue to want to do from a competitive sense. But most importantly, we want to make sure we're preparing champions for life and providing an opportunity here for the university, the experience that these young people are getting in our university, to serve them for a lifetime. And that's when we'll really be fulfilled about the mission that we're set out to do here.
The upgrades you made in baseball over the years at the stadium has allowed you to host super regionals, to do some things on the national level. Can you do that in football as easily, or is it, you know, getting your name out to where you get more home games, better games, other people want to come in and play you? Is that one way to do it, by upgrading your facilities?
No doubt. No, there's certainly an opportunity there for those, you know, postseason opportunities or regular season matchups. You know, we're focused on the schedule several years out now, but I'll tell you this, it's going to make hosting that Sun Belt Championship game a heck of a lot better, you know, here in a few years. And that's what we're most excited about, is going out and compete for that championship. But also, yeah, what other events come to mind? And, you know, we still host jamborees and other things for high school sport programs here. So hopefully it draws a lot more events to Cajun Field and eventually when the stadium is fully renovated, Our Lady of Lourdes Stadium.
Nico Yanko, I want to thank you for your time. Obviously a great lot of things happening at your university. Big moment this week coming off the pandemic to get that kind of that partnership going, and also big things in the future, you hope. So thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having us on. And again, we're incredibly grateful. I'm personally grateful for the opportunity to work with Our Lady of Lourdes so often and on these type of gifts. So again, can't wait for the future here. And again, we just ask Cajun Nation, the time is now. Let's get involved. And then we need you to propel this thing forward with us. And it's only one way, and that's together. So thanks for the time today, and go Cajuns.
Thank you. Right. So lots of things happening there. You know, I hate to say this, but he sounds an awful lot like he Schwer. They're both very positive. They both believe they're in the right direction, and they're both getting things done. It's an interesting thing.
I mean, you got to think that this thing is in that right direction.
Oh, yeah.
The Cajuns
program.
This is
the future. This is what you need to do. You have to do this, especially on this level, maybe more so on this level than any other level.
I mean, this is kind of that model that I think, you know, Dr. Brian Maggard, maybe not to the level of what we're seeing with them, a $15 million deal over the course of $1 million a year, basically, over the course of 15 years. But it's something that I think they've been wanting to do and be able to move forward in a great direction. Because the Cajuns program, whenever Dr. Brian Maggard took over, he was able to navigate a lot of different things, namely the firing of head coach Mike Lotief, longtime head coach of softball, getting in Jerry Glasgow, who's helped keep this program up to the standard that we want him to be. Then we go to, you know, him having to make the decision to fire Mark Hudspeth, which was the right decision to make, hiring Billy Napier, hiring Billy Napier, which may be, and I think this isn't
maybe a coup.
This isn't like a hot take, but I think Billy Napier may be the single biggest hire in terms of strictly an athletic perspective, not athletic director-wise, because I think Brian Maggard, when his time is all said and done here, I think Dr. Brian Maggard will be the greatest hire in the history of Cajuns athletics. But in terms of coaches, bar none, I think Billy Napier is the best, is the biggest and best hire the Cajuns will have ever made.
Well, it looks good right now. And you never know what the future is going to be. You don't know how long he's going to stay. Obviously, he probably could have left already. But the thing is, he gives you credibility immediately. You needed credibility after what had happened. You get instant credibility, and now you're seeing some of the things going in place that he's bringing to it. If he's not here, do you get the gift?
Yeah.
If he's not here, do the upgrades happen? If he's not here and you go 1-10, what does that mean?
Yeah.
To all the future and all your future plans. I will say this much, as seeing it from the outside more than inside, like you guys do, the one thing I see is the football stadium had lagged behind the other facilities.
Yeah.
And now to be able to upgrade it and get national people talking about it, and more importantly, you get to bring in and name it, and now you get to rename and look at the stadium.
Yep.
That is something that is completely different and unique, to where you are rebranding yourself after a pandemic when you're going to have to try to bring back fans anyways. You now have something new to bring them back to.
Exactly.
And that is a huge deal with what we're coming off of.
And you bring up the fact, like, bringing back fans. I think that's always going to be something that the Cajuns have to deal with, because you look at what's happened, like, since, and you know, I need to spend the time and go look back at the numbers since Billy Napier took over. But when Billy Napier took over this program, the numbers for attendance were down to the last year of Ricky Bussell low. That was like, if it was lower than the lowest low of the modern era of Cajuns.
Well, you have numbers down across the board.
Yeah.
First of all. Secondly, is when you go up and you go up and say you're competing with the best, you're going up against an elite program an hour away.
100%.
And you have to at least be able to say, we have a product that maybe isn't equal to, but is as entertaining as.
Yep.
And give people an option, because they're good. They can sit at home. We say this with McNeese all the time. You can sit at home and watch 9 games every day, every Saturday, and watch the national championship play out week in and week out in front of your TV for free.
Yeah.
Why are you going to another game that does not have an impact on that level unless you are committed or you have some tie to it? So you have to get people committed to it. You have to get them an idea that they're a part of it. And that they're getting them to be a part of buying into, we are a part of this university, we are part of this community, is a huge deal.
I mean, I'm with you wholeheartedly on all this. It's just, I think, and you bring up the fact of that, also throw in the students as well. It's like getting the students to show up.
You have to get them to buy in.
Because the students, like, for a while, they weren't there.
You're not going to get the students like you used to.
Yeah.
You're not going to get them with the rah-rahs and all that. You have to give them a reason to come, and you have to make them a part of the university. In other words, this is my university. This is not just where I go to class.
Exactly.
And it is really hard to do when you're not stepping on that campus because of a pandemic and you're getting everything at home. There is even less of a connect. So now, not only do you have to get them connected, you've got to reconnect them. You've got to connect your team to the community. And you've got to connect your team to the community that is the campus community. And those are two different things. You can get them to go to every banquet you want, every McDonald's there is, and get them to hand out, you know, McFlurries or whatever.
Yeah.
But you cannot get, if you do not get the kids involved, you don't get the excitement in the stadium, you don't get the energy in the stadium, and you don't get people to come back and say, I had a good time. I feel like I just listened to McNeese for 10 years.
Yeah.
I've been saying this to McNeese for 10 years. You are old, you are boring, you are dull. Now what I'm seeing is I kept saying, you, Louise, I would call them ULL, so don't everybody yell at me, but I would say UL is your blueprint.
Exactly. They're the model that I think,
even another blueprint.
They're the model that I think can absolutely be that next step for a lot of programs in the group of five. Maybe not UL, because they've got a lot of things they've got to
fix. No, they've got other issues.
They've got other issues, and we're past due for a break. So we're going to take that, come back with a whole lot more.
That's
Bobber Bobber Sports.
Me babbling.
Oh, it's both of us. 1037 The Game, 1037TheGame.com.
Remember the time you got home with absolutely no traffic? Yeah, neither do we. That's why we've got more Bumper to Bumper Sports on 1037 The Game.
Hey, good show going here. I lost track of it for a second there.
Hey, that's what I was having. That's what happens when you're having a good time, man. Like,
yes.
Sometimes, like, at the end of the day, yeah, it's like we want to make sure we get out at certain points. But at the end of the day, we're having a good conversation. We're getting some good stuff going. And when we had Nico Yanko on, he is absolutely
fantastic.
One of my favorite dudes. Just, I was like, I was 100% thinking in my head, I'm like, okay, like, we just had this big news. We need to shoot our shot here. And lo and behold, luckily we were able to get him. I know he's a new dad, so I was hoping, you know, he's able to take time out of that extremely busy schedule. Because, I mean, I'm talking like maybe a couple weeks old. So it's like kudos to him for getting it in, brother.
No, but I think the interesting things he's talked about is how I think you have two types of people out there right now. Coming off the pandemic, coming off everything that's happened. I think you have a group of people that are hunkered down and trying to hold on. And I think we're seeing some universities that are saying it's an opportunity to make new. And I think that's the group I want to see. And I want to see which group comes out of it. Because we saw a lot of people saying we're not playing. We saw a lot of people saying we're not going to play in the spring. We saw a lot of things saying we're not going to do this. We're not going to do that. But we also saw a lot of people saying, here's what we can try.
Yeah.
Let's try this. And I think getting, look, the money's great. You get $1 million a year. That's great. But what do you do with it? Do you invest it in to make more money? Do you give it to something? Do you have a project, a special project for their stadium, the renovations? What can they do, and what does that bring you? And how much attention does that bring you? In other words, do you show something and say, okay, we got it going, now four or five other companies come in on it, four or five other boosters come in on it, and you get this to snowball? It's getting people to feel good about where you're going, not where you've been.
Yeah.
And that to me is the ultimate challenge for these schools. And, you know, it's easy to say TV money is going to be here, but everybody's getting the TV money. So where do you come up with the other money? Where do you come up with the other things to get your ideas done? And all I've heard from people lately is rebranding. Branding, rebranding. What's our brand going to be? How do we make it a brand?
I mean, that's kind of...
You need your own brand.
Well, I've got my brand. It's the world famous CD brand.
There you go.
I mean,
you've got to get it out there under the dome. Yeah.
Under the Dome with CD. It's on every Saturday, 9 to 11 a.m.
I don't have a brand. I don't have a show. I don't have a name. I'm just a guy.
Well, you're Jim Gazzolo.
I'm just a guy.
Well, you say that, but at the same time, you can
I'm the guy.
You can market it as, you can market yourself as Jim Gazzolo.
I'm not buying that product.
Come on now.
I'm not buying that product. Who's going to buy that product?
You could, I'm sure there's people out there that would,
I don't even have business cards.
Come on now.
I put it on my forehead.
Now you can wind up pulling it off. I'm telling you.
I am somebody.
Yeah.
There you go.
We're all somebody. Yeah, it's just how you market yourself.
But I mean, I think that that's what we're seeing from these schools. And look, the best thing they got is TVs get turned on.
Yep.
And
computers in some cases get turned on.
Computers get turned on. And there's your logo for a company. And you're branded with the team. And if the team does well, that's fantastic. I used to be against all this. I used to be against the little Nike swooshes on uniforms and that. It's just the way it is now.
Yeah.
I go back to the old school. If I was against hockey putting signs on billboards at the rink. But
yeah,
now,
around the rink?
Now I don't even recognize them. Don't even notice them.
Well, I think now it's a lot more, I'd say to a certain extent, uniform, because you're bringing this up on hockey again in the show. For the second straight hour, you're bringing this up.
Guy.
And you're saying this, and it's sparking up all that nostalgia, like watching the old Ice Skaters games live and in living color at the Cage Dome, packed houses every night, and they had every single, almost square inch was covered in sponsors. Now, I feel like it's a lot more, you know, especially more homogenized in the NHL world, where it's, oh, hey, we have X amount of sponsors, but it takes up like a good bit of it versus like, let's say.
Well, you see them changing too. Now they have the electronic ones where they change.
They have the electronic ones where they change, but more importantly, like, because I'm thinking back to the old days where it was, you had all these sponsors. Heck, even to a certain extent, the Teague, before they made those renovations where you finally put a padding on the wall, which was about damn time they finally did that, you had sponsorship every single, like, I'd say 4 or 5 feet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It was just covered with umpteen different sponsors.
And the key was to get the spot in left center field, where 90% of the shots that go in the newspapers used to be second base double plays, and if you could get your product sponsored in the right spot, then it's going to get a free advertisement every day.
Exactly,
and that's it came down to that. I didn't like it, but I have no problem with it now. I'm used to it.
Yeah,
so I don't, you know.
I mean, now it's a little bit more streamlined, like you said, with the electronic billboards and all that, to where you can actually pull it off, and it actually doesn't look like. Yes. I guarantee if you want to airing an Ice Skaters game now, like I remember back in the pandemic times, they used to, like, on CST especially, they used to air the old CST LSU games with Jordy Holtberg as a sideline reporter.
Yeah. Yes.
You forgot about that.
Speaker of words.
2-4 on 103.7 the game.
There you go. You get a plug in there and everything.
Yeah.
That's professional.
True professional here. But when it comes down to it, that's the way things, and just looking at that versus what it is now, it's a different ballgame.
Oh, completely. Completely.
And you just look at it, it would look rinky-dink if you saw stuff with the Ice Skaters and you had like 50 different sponsors.
Yes,
but now it's, oh, hey, let's go ahead and add these like LED or whatever.
Yes.
I don't know what it is off top.
But it's somewhere
along those lines.
But I think going into partnerships is not a bad thing either now.
I think the
partnerships make the most sense. That now you're committed, and they're committed to following through to make sure you do some good things.
Yeah.
I would imagine they have, before they gave their gift, they would have some idea of what you're planning to do with it, because they want to be a part of something that's a winning team.
You don't want
to be a part of something and say, here's $20, go do something, kid. You want to make sure that your money's going to something right.
Well, again, the fact that they spent 18 months, and who knows how much longer it's been since these two have struck up conversations about things like this.
Yeah.
Because they've dealt with them before in the past for certain things like strikeouts for cash for the American Stroke Association.
Yeah.
All those kind of things. It's all building up equity to say, hey, look at what we're doing. Show us what you can do for us going forward
yeah.
to where...
And come join us in the project.
Exactly. Come join. I mean, they already have, to a certain extent, I believe they have, I can't remember what it's called off top, but they have something at the Teague that's sponsored by Our Lady of Lourdes.
Yeah, you already have the relationship
set up. I think it's a kids section, but that's been going on for years.
But you already have the relationship set up.
Exactly.
So therefore, it's the next obvious step is this is where we want to go. And this is, you know, I know we talk about it, we kid about it. Would the world end if it was Tiger Stadium and they named it, I don't know, Petting Zoo Tiger Stadium?
Well, I'm trying to think.
Is there something?
LeBaire's Duloc Field at Tiger Stadium?
Yeah. Would that bother you?
I don't think so.
There you go.
Mind you, I'm a lot younger, so maybe I'm just like, it feels
I'm older.
Like,
it doesn't bother me anymore. Mercedes-Benz is like five stadiums at one time, wasn't it? Or
it was two. It was both. Both in the NFC South. Both in the NFC South, and it was the Saints and Falcons.
The
Falcons hold dominion because of the fact they actually have they're the only Mercedes-Benz now.
I mean, Death Valley and there's two Death Valleys.
But now that you're bringing that up, Mercedes-Benz, if I'm not mistaken, don't they have like factories over there in Atlanta?
Yeah.
So that makes sense.
That makes sense.
Yeah. New Orleans never really made like the hugest amount of sense.
No, but
we didn't mind the money.
No, but that's where you're at now. Is to look, Staples Center was a huge deal out in Los Angeles when they did it.
Oh, really?
Because when they did it, you had a lot of things that happened that made them buy into the LA Times, and there were some weird things that happened that left a lot of people out. But now, I don't think it's as big a deal as people think.
Yeah.
But back then it was because they were buying it beforehand and they were getting special treatments to people. As long as you treat everybody the same, I don't have a problem with it. It's an interesting thing. It's always interesting when media companies buy into these things because then I think there's always a concern that they're getting preferential treatment. But this is the way we are. This is what you need to do to compete. Kudos to the Cajuns and their people for coming up with the idea and for seeing it through. I'm sure a lot of people are working on it, and not a lot of them come through. You got to not only have the plan, but you got to have the ability to carry out the plan.
Exactly. Coming up about 30 minutes, we'll have Christian Clark of The Advocate talking about the New Orleans Pelicans.
Speaking about a plan?
Do they have a plan? That's the question we'll try and answer in hour number three. But in the meantime and in between time, let me tell you, we got something cool going on right now in the clubhouse at 1037thegame.com. And the Astros are heating up. You can be part of the exciting action when the Astros take on the New York Yankees on July 10th. Was that a boo, Jim?
I said the Yankees. You always boo the Yankees, don't you?
Thank you. But you have a chance to score four tickets and a $200 Visa gift card for Houston's home game against the Evil Empire on Saturday, July 10th. Make sure to sign up today at 1037thegame.com and enter in for a chance to win that and so much more. And the Astros Weekend Getaways are powered by Butcher Air Conditioning, J&J Exterminating, and 103.7 The Game, Acadiana Sports Station. We got more B2BS next.
.37 The Game, Acadiana Sports Station, is more than just sports talk.
One-stop shop for mind, body, and soul.
Follow us on social media for the latest happenings in the world of sports. Just search at 1037 The Game on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Now, back to more 1037 The Game, Acadiana's Sports Station.
Hey, we're back. Top of the hour to be Christian Clark. We'll be talking Pelicans. Mess? Train wrecks?
Who's to blame?
Who's to blame?
What's the plan?
Is there a savior? Does anybody care? All these questions and more. Hey, I want to dig into this with you.
Okay.
Okay, so we've got it to where if you put a substance on a baseball, you're cheating and it's 10 games.
Yeah.
And pitchers are upset.
Oh, 100%. Everybody's upset at this.
They all go back to, hey, nobody got suspended from the Astros.
Don't get me started on that.
Just letting you know. That's
but meanwhile, I don't know if you saw this or not, but I'm going to pull this guy's name up. I want to try and get him on the show either this week or in not too distant future. But Ryan Spader, an MLB analyst, he also wrote the book Incredible Baseball Stats.
Yes.
And he brought this up on Twitter. He basically unloaded a massive thread of cheating, and I'm absolutely loving it. So first off, he he destroys the Kansas City Royals, who won their World Series championship in 2015, and they were the first team with a full analytics and video department close by their dugout back in 2015.
Okay.
How he said they use it, he doesn't know. He wound up going, he's saying he's, this is verified by more than one player. He doesn't want to burn anyone, but he's had enough of the BS that's going on. Meanwhile, the New York Yankees, the team that the Astros are going to be playing July 10th, you can enter in for a chance to win tickets to see the Astros. Yes, thank you, thank you, thank you. Apparently, the Yankees had cameras in left, center, and right field all pointing at the pitcher's glove rather than the catcher to pick up his grip. Keep in mind, Aaron Judge, 2017-2018 season at home, batting 312, 440, 725. That was a slash in 2017 at home. On the road, it was 256, 404, 531. You can see where this
is
going. That's
a big difference.
The Dodgers had an employee who was caught setting up cameras at Minute Maid Park wearing an MLB polo shirt when he should have been wearing a Dodgers polo during the 2017 World Series.
Ooh.
Yes. And this one sounds about right, but Adrian Beltre had a buddy with binoculars in dead center who would wave a wife beater, an undershirt, if he was getting something off speed in 2017.
Oh, I like that one. That's old school.
It's old school.
That is old school.
Old school's all get out. And the stats speak to it. Because, again, he is slashing 362, 440, 586 all at home.
That's old school, though.
Yeah.
I like that.
And, you know, the Astros sign stealing method
We've had this. We've had this going on from baseball forever. Yeah. Well, is there... Was there a camera in the scoreboard at Wrigley Field?
They said something about I was reading something about the Mariners. Apparently, the Mariners had GoPro cameras.
Oh.
Like, against the Astros. Like, had GoPro cameras. And they were hiding them in towels.
In towels. Did the moose, was the moose on one leg on the skateboard if it was a fastball? And two legs if it was a climber?
I guess.
But they also had this.
I think this one's interesting. Because the D-backs, according to this, again, these just a never-ending thread of stuff, is that the D-backs apparently use humidor balls when pitching and the non-humidor when batting at home. That's wild.
I would say that would be harder to judge because wouldn't that be in the umpire's control?
Yeah, no, 100%. Like, it's absolutely insane.
That one, I'll buy everything, but that one I'm gonna figure out that one because I want to know about the, first of all, it didn't work very well for the Diamondbacks. but I want to know how they controlled what ball was in the game.
Exactly.
Did we have a different dot on?
I'm sure there was something going on.
And if that's
on.
The case, that's on the umpire then.
Yeah.
But
there was some collusion maybe, but
baseball has always had this. Like I said, we had talks of a camera in Wrigley Field. We had conversations about the White Sox had somebody, I think it was in the 80s.
Yeah.
They were talked about. I know that when I was playing, it was a long time ago, completely different level, it was just college, but I didn't want to know what pitch was coming. Because we would have guys on second base, and you could look at signs and see, because if that guy messes you up one time, I'm never going to trust him again. So he better be right.
Yeah.
In other words, if you hit the trash can and you're wrong and I strike out, I'm never trusting that system again. So I think it's always been attempted. I'm not always sure it's been perfected, but I could see where with the electronics and that you could get into a system where you were pretty confident you were right. So let's fix it. Let's just put earpieces in everybody's head.
I'll throw this one out here, and then we'll kind of take a quick break. He brought this one up as well. This is from a player who wants to remain nameless. Twins back at the Metrodome. They would open right field
open
doors.
The door.
They would open the doors, creating suction when the Twins batted, then close them when the opponents hit. That's some petty stuff.
I also think the Vikings were blamed to doing that when they, depending on which way they were going.
That's amazing.
So... Hey,
but this guy completely was going like all out on just.
So what you're saying is there's cheating in baseball.
There's cheating. It's not just isolated to one or two teams, Jim. It's a league-wide thing, and it's been going on for years.
Shocked if it was one or two teams.
I mean, you're hearing things from like back in the day before you wound up having the technology you have, where it's like they just shined like a light out in the scoreboard.
Yes.
It's like this has been going on for years.
Yes.
Like people just got to realize that. And kind of,
but social media destroys everything.
It's social media destroys everything, but everybody wants to destroy the Astros. Meanwhile, the other 29 teams in the league were doing it in some form or fashion. Nobody talks about.
What I don't get is I don't mind the Astros being destroyed. Why aren't the Red Sox ever talked about?
That's exactly where I was going to get to.
Where is the Red Sox couple? You know, they crowned the Yankees the evil empire, and then they went out and overspent them.
Yep.
For three straight years, but we were never the evil empire.
I love it.
You won three titles. How's that?
Well, I don't know. We just got lucky.
No, you went out and outspent the Yankees. You did. You became what you despised.
Exactly.
To beat what you despised.
Thank you. I love the way you worded that.
And if somebody comes in and says, hey, you know, the Astros, they figured it out. I'm sure everybody else in the league by that spring training had it figured out.
Oh, exactly. You know, and here's the thing.
Guys go to too many different teams.
Yeah. But also the fact you think about it, you're cheating. And in the Astros, for instance, in the 2019 World Series, what did the Washington Nationals do? What did they do? They changed their signals.
Exactly.
They changed their signs. They realized, hey, this is how we're going to fix this. This is how we're going to improve. So why not
change your
signs to make sure you have a better chance of winning?
And it worked. If you're a smart catcher, you know somebody who should not be on a pitch and gets on a pitch. And the next time you hear a trash can banging, I know it.
100%.
Come on. You've got to be smarter than that because you're trying to do the same thing on the other side.
Exactly.
So, yeah, the Nationals knew it and they went against it. That's what you do. You counter, infiltrate, and you survive and adapt.
And we'll adapt into a break. Going to take a quick timeout. Back with more Bumper to Bumper Sports here on 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
Time to open up the vault for the 103.7 The Game's This Day in Sports History.
June 16th, 1970. Brian Piccolo dies of testicular cancer in New York City at the age of 26. The Chicago Bears running back and his friendship with Gale Sayers was immortalized in the TV movie Brian's Song. That was This Day in Sports History. We now return to 103.7 The Game. Acadiana's sports station, simulcast on Stadium 32.3.
Yes, and we all remember Brian's Song in the movie. Obviously from Chicago, you remember a lot about Brian's Song.
I'm about to say, this is the second day in a row. We've had stuff that you absolutely love in terms of in terms of on this day in sports history, it's relative, at least to you, obviously, Bull Durham.
Bull Durham.
We got the whole sports
unbelievable
movie. By the way, I'll give credit. We got a call right after we got off air because I was trying to figure it out.
Yes.
For the life of me, like I thought we would have had it up in our archives on 1037thegame.com.
And should have. You should.
And then I realized, then I was told who it was. Sandlot wound up winning the best sports movie bracket of all time.
You guys went with sentimental and movie things. I wanted bizarreness. Give me that.
What would have been the bizarre? I'm wondering.
Just in case we have. Yeah, okay. Well, I don't know. Like I said, Gus the Kicking Mule wins my football. Did you look up Gus the Kicking Mule?
I'm pulling it up now.
There you go. Gus the Kicking Mule. It's a Disney movie, an early Disney movie with Ed Asner.
It's actually just called Gus.
It isn't?
Yeah, it's just Gus.
Oh, wow.
The California Adams. That's probably on Disney Plus, right?
Led by Ed Asner.
Yeah.
And Don Knotts, I think.
Don Knotts was the coach.
Don Knotts is the assistant coach, I think, isn't he?
Coach Venner.
There you go. Always Don Knotts. Henry Winkler of his time for college football coaches.
I mean, no, it was just like the Henry Winkler where he just popped up seemingly everywhere back in those days. Because, I mean, coming off of Andy Griffith, he pops up in the Scooby-Doo movies all the time.
Well, let's be realistic.
Yeah.
Don Knotts was the classic.
Don Knotts was in Three's Company. Like, he just was everywhere.
Yeah,
in, like,
the Three's Company. He wasn't a good fit.
Even Tim Conway was in this movie.
Yes, everybody is in this movie.
I believe Dick Butkus
was in that movie.
Dick Van Patten, Johnny Unitas.
Johnny Unitas.
As himself, Jim. And you brought up Dick Butkus. He's Rob Cargill in the movie. Like, it's just, it's insane to see how stacked this was. Like,
and the championship was won because Gus could kick 90-yard field goals.
Yeah. I think I remember them doing something, like, you bring this up, you bring this up, and I'm like, I think there was something, like, and I'm looking this up now, we might talk about it off air, but it was something similar to that. The Philadelphia kicking phenomenon.
The garbage collecting.
The garbage picking, field goal kicking Philadelphia phenomenon.
Yeah, and it was
Tony Danza. I remember that movie.
He could kick because he had to kick some old...
He had to kick the lever.
He had to kick the lever on his garbage truck. Yeah. Very good.
Don't trust me.
Terrible movie.
It was a terrible movie, but I loved it.
But you got it. Then you got to look up eventually The Fish That Saved Pittsburgh.
We'll look that up in the break. But that like the movie you just told me reminded me 100% of that. And I believe that was made by Disney, too.
Oh, I'm sure it was.
Hour 3 of Bumper to Bumper Sports coming up next.
Live and local. This is Acadiana's number one sports station. 103.7 The Game. KLWB, Karen Crow, Lafayette. And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports. On 103.7 The Game and live online at 103.7thegame.com.
We're back for our final half hour leading up to the Astros. But before we get to the Astros in baseball, we're going to talk a little basketball, a little more basketball, with Christian Clark of The Advocate, who covers the Pelicans in New Orleans. And Christian, how are you doing today?
It's been a day. It's been a day, that's for sure.
Did you see it coming at all?
Yeah, I did, to be honest. I got pretty strong wind that this was potentially happening last night. Woke up pretty early today because, honestly, I was a little worried that it could happen this morning. And, it did. It went down.
Okay, so Van Gundy is out. Stan Van Gundy is out. They want to go in a different direction. Where did the direction go wrong in the last year? Because they just interviewed him. Shouldn't they have been on the same page last year when they hired him?
they definitely should have. I mean, I think an important piece of context to know in the situation is that Stan Van Gundy was not their number one option. I think, you know, it's kind of widely known in league circles. The Pelicans wanted to hire Tyronn Lue. That was a coach that David Griffin won a championship with in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Tyronn Lue did not want to take this job. He wanted to take the Clippers job. You know, it's, you live in L.A., you compete for a championship. And so they, you know, once they didn't get Ty Lue, they kind of had to readjust, and you know, they settled on Stan. I think it kind of came down to Stan and a couple of guys who, you know, were viewed as promising assistants, but had never had head coaching experience before. And they just kind of decided, all right, we're going to go with a guy who, you know, has a proven track record of success in the regular season, a guy who's gotten a team to the finals. I think he was what they viewed at the time was the safer option. But it was just not a good fit, clearly.
Okay, so David Griffin, the general manager, says he wants to go where everybody's going in the same direction. What direction does he talk about going into? Because listening to his press conference and talking to some people, they weren't really sure what he was getting into. What direction do you think he wants to go into?
Yeah, I'm just going to be honest here. I think he wants a head coach who wants to go in his direction. He's had two head coaches in a row where there has been some tension over, you know, just David Griffin's day-to-day control in a team. I mean, he's a guy who just his fingerprints and his thumbprints are all over this team. I mean, he's just a guy who wants a lot of control. And I honestly, he's, you know, had two veteran head coaches before, and they've kind of bristled at the level of control he wants to have. Yeah. So, you know, when I think he says that he wants somebody to go in the same direction, to be perfectly honest, I think he wants somebody to go in his direction more.
So it's about his direction, which is what? Do we know what his direction is?
I think one of the things is that, you know, they spent a lot of money to bring this training staff in. And I think, you know, David Griffin is a big believer in sports science and, and managing, you know, players' minutes. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a lot more than that, too. And honestly, it is kind of hard to define. I mean, it was hard to like pick a direction this year because of the roster in a lot of ways, right? I mean, they just kind of had this roster that was straight out of like 2007, and it didn't really belong in 2020, 2021.
Yeah.
So I mean, I think that's a, you know, it's hard to answer that question without, like, with the roster that they had of what direction they wanted to go in.
That's where I wanted to go with the, when you looked at the team on paper and that it doesn't look like a current NBA team that is a fit for the game as it's played now, which leads me to believe, does the whole roster have to be imploded and start over, or, you know, just a couple of pieces here? And is that mean you're going to give a guy a few years to rebuild this, because it's clearly not a one-year rebuild?
I mean, honestly, I could see a scenario where they're a pretty good team next year. Like, I could definitely see a scenario where they're like, you know, they get the sixth seed or something. And the reason I say that is they have two all-stars on the roster in Zion Williamson and Brandon Ingram, and they have a ton of picks. They have 11 first-round picks over the next seven drafts. I expect them to be aggressive with that capital and, like, go out and get some proven talent, because I think they know that there is an incredible amount of pressure to be a good team next year. Zion Williamson is eligible for an extension in the summer of 2022. I mean, they need to get this going in the right direction right now. I mean, they need to be successful next season.
Do you think Zion will have his fingerprints on the coach's hire?
No. I mean, I think that, you know, he'll be consulted of what are some qualities you want in a head coach, but I don't think this is like you saw Damian Lillard in Portland, like, go on the record and say, this is who I want to be head coach. I don't think it's a situation like that at all. But I mean, I would definitely expect there to be back and forth between management and star players here, as there is in probably any NBA situation.
A lot of people have asked over a couple of years, is New Orleans a good fit for an NBA franchise? What do you think about that, and what do they need to do to kind of get players to want to play here?
Yeah, I mean, and this is a real thorny one, but I mean, they need to win. I mean, they just haven't won, and, you know, they have this perception that it's kind of like a doomed franchise. I mean, I personally, you know, don't believe that. I'm not really just a believer in general that because things happened in the past, they always have to happen that way in the future. Like, I think you can change your future, but you just need a better roster around Zion Williamson and Brandon Ingram. You need some pieces that actually fit. You need some shooting. You got to get a head coach, I guess, that's going to pull in the same direction as the front office, because we got two head coaches in a row who've come away from this thing, I think, not feeling great about the experience at all.
Well, you would guess that based on what you're saying and based on what we've seen the last couple of head coaches, they're going to want somebody that's younger and has different ideas than kind of the old school ideas that we've seen.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be probably a mistake to go, like, you know, with an old school coach, you know, unless they are like super, I'm not talking about politically, but like super progressive in terms of like the ideas they believe about coaching, and
they believe in some of the analytics,
like willing to let David Griffin have some control.
Yeah, I guess it's buying into the analytics of everything from rest days to number of threes you have to shoot to how many shooters you have on a floor at one time. Almost all those numbers. This team, obviously, when it lost its star last time, and he goes on and wins a championship in L.A., the concern is you don't want to lose Zion, because then you're just kind of a stepping stone minor leagues in the NBA. You really have to get people around Zion now that are going to take a chance to win some games and get some interest into him, because you want to keep him to stay. I mean, you have to have him stay, don't you?
I mean, I think so. I mean, I think, you know, he's probably the best prospect since Anthony Davis. I mean, maybe you could go all the way back to LeBron James. I mean, he had one of the greatest college seasons of all time. He won. You know, I think he genuinely cares about winning. I mean, he's incredibly marketable. That's someone who I would want on my team. I would try like hell to you know, build a team that actually makes sense around him and keep him happy. And, you know, I get asked about Zion a lot, like, what does he want? I mean, you know, there's a lot of noise, but I think the number one thing he wants is he wants to win. Like, I really do believe he's just a kid who's all about winning.
So, and with 10 teams now, it's not hard to at least get into that playoff situation and play yourself into that position if you get enough combinations. I mean, really, with all that happened the last week and a half, they were still in the running up until then. So it's not like it's a monumental leap to get at least in the conversation of the postseason. We're talking with Christian Clark of The Advocate. And, Christian, I guess the next question is, where do they go for a coach? What are some of the criteria? You say you want him on their side, but do you have any names that you're thinking about, or have names been thrown out the last time they were searching?
Yeah, so David Griffin talked a little bit about that today. They interviewed 9 people last year. I think, you know, I expect they go back to that well in a lot of different ways and, you know, circle back with some of those people. Two names I've heard early on, Charles Lee, an assistant coach with the Milwaukee Bucks, guy who played at Bucknell and then had a career over in Europe, and Jacque Vaughn, an assistant with the Brooklyn Nets.
Jacque Vaughn from Kansas?
Those aren't the only two names who will be strongly considered, but those are two I've heard at this early stage.
Is Jacque Vaughn the same one that was at Kansas?
Do you know that? I'm not sure about Kansas. I know he's with the Orlando Magic.
Yeah, I think it is the same guy. Yeah, he played his college ball at Kansas. Well, the interesting thing is you've named two assistants. So head coaching is not a definite experience needed. But the next question then becomes, can you get somebody that wants to be their own coach but is willing to have a GM on their, you know, kind of pushing all the buttons? That becomes a harder thing to get.
I mean, I think that's one of the most interesting questions with whatever happens next. I mean, there's, you know, it's not a black and white issue. I think there's just a balancing of the act of, like, the give and take and, like, you know, are you going to be aligned on these issues like rest? But, you know, in important moments where you disagree, you stand up for yourself and, you know, you have the cachet to do what you believe is right. So I think that's a really interesting question.
Yeah, that's always the thing is if you have the GM pressing the buttons, you know, you always have the argument, it's my lineup. So that's always the kind of the question you have to have. All right, the Pelicans, you say you think they can compete next year. What's the number one thing they got to do? Get a shooter after the coach, get some shooters on the floor, become more diverse offensively? What do you see as their number one thing to get after the coach?
Yeah, I think the number one thing is they just need to become a lot better in the backcourt. I mean, they need a better starting backcourt. I mean, I think under no circumstance can you bring back the Lonzo Ball, Eric Bledsoe pairing. I mean, I think it was borderline disastrous, frankly. I mean, there's just neither of those guys can really break down a defense in the pick and roll. You know, Lonzo Ball was a credible floor spacer, but he doesn't get to the rim. Eric Bledsoe, you don't fear him at all as a floor spacer. And last year, I mean, getting to the rim was a strength for the first decade of his career. He just stopped doing that last year. So I think you got to get off of Eric Bledsoe, and I think you got to just go get some talent. I mean, I would definitely sniff around on CJ McCollum, see if he's gettable. You know, Buddy Hield, that's another guy I would definitely be looking at. But yeah, they need some talent in the starting backcourt.
Heard a lot of talk about Alonzo Ball being on the trade block. Do you think he's on the trade block? Or
So I mean, he's
everybody...
going to be a restricted free agent. So the only way he could get traded is in a sign in trade,
yeah,
basically, which I actually think is, you know, it's plausible. But yeah, I mean, I think the two most likely scenarios are a sign in trade, and they get something back, or they just bring him back in restricted free agency. See what happens. I would be a little surprised if he just walked for nothing.
Yeah. Okay, we're here this time next year, and David Griffith goes to the podium because he has to make another coaching change. Does he survive that? Could he survive 4 coaches in three years or whatever? or is the announcement him? How much pressure is he under to win?
Yeah, I think he's I think he's under an incredible amount of pressure to produce in this upcoming season. I mean, you don't see it that often that a guy gets to pick 3 coaches in 3 years or gets,
no,
you know, he gets to hire 3 coaches in 3 years. I mean, 4, that's just kind of unimaginable to me. So
yeah,
I think he's got kind of one more shot here. And if it doesn't get better, then, you know, things could get tenuous. You know, things are not good right now, but I think there are, like, a number of different ways they could improve. Like, these draft picks really give them ammunition to do something, but you know, they kind of got to hit a triple or a home run here. It's not going to be easy, but it is doable.
Well, he's got another coach to come up with. He does have, as you say, he has some assets, so we'll see if he can piece it together. Christian Clark, thank you for joining us. Christian Clark of The Advocate, talking Pelicans on a day when a busy day for you. So I thank you for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right. Pelicans, an interesting issue right now. Christian says they need shooters. They need a new backcourt. They need a new head coach. There's only so many fingers go around before somebody has to point it back at you.
Yeah, I'm about to say they need a kidney transplant. They need everything at this rate, right?
Well, there comes a point in time when you've blamed everybody in the room and you're the only one left.
Exactly. We'll take a quick timeout. We won't blame us, but we'll wrap up the show next right here on 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com, leading up to Astro Launch here on 103.7 The Game.
Your favorite guests come on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Missed an interview?
No!
Don't worry. Acadiana's sports station has got you covered.
Woo-hoo!
Just head on over to 1037thegame.com and check out our on-demand section. Now, back to Bumper Sports on 1037 The Game.
And welcome back to Bumper Sports here on 1037 The Game, 1037thegame.com. Before we wrap up here, let me give you a quick little note about some stuff that's going on in the world of sport. Well, actually, I should say what's going on in our little world. That is the 103.7 The Game Clubhouse, 103.7thegame.com. You get in for a chance to win a $40 gift card to Misfits Dine and Drink out in Broussard. You can only win that $40 gift card by signing up today in the clubhouse at 103.7thegame.com. So go hurry up and sign up today. You there, Jim?
Yeah, I'm right here.
What's up, brother?
You didn't point to me.
I did point to you. You were on your phone, so I was like,
"Oh no, I'm sorry. I thought you were doing the promo first. Hey, look, I'm a rookie at this. I'm an absolute rookie at this.
That's why I was like, okay, well, I need to start talking.
I thought you actually were doing that before. I misread your communication process. That's on me. I usually am listening and hear that, but
oh, we're live, pal.
All right, there you go. This is a live show. I'm sorry. All right, well, let's ask you about the Astros.
Yeah.
They open up a series tomorrow night with the White Sox after tonight's game.
A 20-game stretch, mind you.
That's what I'm going into. After tonight's game, they have a 20-game stretch against quality opponents. We will know a lot more about them at the All-Star break than we do right now. It is an interesting stretch because is there one day off in there?
No, it's literally Bill Belichick style, no days off.
No days off?
20 straight games.
That is
no day off.
That is an amazingly tough stretch.
Like, I don't know why that was even like proposed. It feels like everyone wants to complain about the Astros not getting punished. This seems like punishment enough.
Well, I do know that every team in this year's schedule had a period of about 30 days where they had 30 games in 31 days.
Yeah.
But I've never heard of anybody 20 straight. I don't know if a rainout has occurred in there or not.
Yeah,
but I do know that it's not just that they play that many games. It's who you're playing.
Yeah.
And the tax on your bullpen, which has been a little shaky for them all year.
Don't remind me.
Could be the most interesting part of these 2 weeks. It's a fascinating 3 week period before the All-Star break that is rough. It's a rough run.
It's rough. Thankfully, you know, you bring up it's rough, but at the same time, it's eased a little bit, at least somewhat. You bring up, you got the four-game series against the White Sox.
Yeah.
Tonight you got the Rangers. Then you get ready for that series against the White Sox, one of the best teams in the league right now. But then when you leave the friendly confines of Minute Maid, who you got looking at you? The Baltimore Orioles.
That helps.
That is like just cake right now.
That helps.
Yeah. Then you have a four-game set against the Detroit Tigers.
That helps.
Oh, as much as it pains Chuck Wood to hear that,
that's true. Helps.
Then you play the Orioles again at home.
That really helps.
Yeah, exactly. That's potentially nine straight wins. That's potentially three-game set against the Orioles. Then you have four games against the Tigers. That's seven. You have a chance to win 10 straight there.
Let's go. It's an 8-2 stretch at least.
It better be 9-1.
You're playing
jabronis.
Well, the Detroit is not as bad as people think. They swept the Yankees.
They got that Auburn pitcher, I think that's about it.
Well, no, they swept the Yankees. Well, they got Matthew Boyd.
The Yankees
still have
sucked this year, right?
They have the last week in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But they're not. They beat up the Royals this week. They're not void of talent.
Well, the Royals aren't that good either. Let's not forget
that. I'm not trying to stretch out. But they're capable of winning a game or two. Baltimore has the one pitcher.
Yep.
If you don't see him in a series, literally you have to kick the game away to Baltimore.
Yeah.
And that what I'm seeing in baseball is there are more than ever walkover games.
Yeah.
And I'm not just talking one team. I'm talking multiple teams can walk over multiple teams. So you're going to see teams that go on 9 or 10, you know, win 8 out of 11 that aren't very good always because of who they've played. This is about who you're playing rather than how good you are.
Yeah.
And I'm saying that as a White Sox fan who has the big the best record in the American League as of today, knowing that we've beaten up on Detroit, Kansas City, Minnesota. What happened to Minnesota? We've beaten up on Baltimore 4 games. But those are games you have to win. If you're going to win that division, you're going to challenge the A's,
yeah,
you've got to win those games. You've got to split these other games and win those games. Win 8 out of 10, 9 out of 10.
Yeah.
If you can, 10 out of 10.
And you do that, I think you're going to wind up putting yourself in a really good position to take control of the AL West before the All-Star break.
Yeah.
But after that Orioles series at home, you go back out on the road, taking on the Cleveland Indians on 4th of July weekend.
Which would have been a lot tougher if they had Bieber and they still had Plesac.
So, like, you've got 20 games in 20 days, but you've really only got 4 really, like, interesting games.
You got 7 or 8 games. You got 7 games because of the Indians games.
Yeah.
You've got 4 at the beginning, 3 at the end.
Yeah.
And of those games, the others.
No, it's 4 games set against the Indians.
Oh, is it? Oh, so you got 4 at the beginning, 4 at the end.
Yeah.
You split those 4, you take care of business, you're in good shape at the All-Star break.
Yep, and but then again, you got to, like, right after that one day off, you play the Oakland A's and then the Evil Empire inside Minute Maid.
Well, you're gonna at some point in time, you're gonna have to beat the A's. Yeah. You're gonna beat the A's.
And by the way, you can enter to win tickets to go see the Astros and the Yankees in the clubhouse. Ooh. At 1037thegame.com.
I can still boo every time you say Yankees, can't I?
The
Yankees. Baseball's better when the Yankees are relevant, even if they're bad.
Exactly. Well, I think it's better when they're relevant, and more importantly, they are one of those teams that you just can't stand to see win.
Either hate them or you love them.
Oh, exactly. There's no in between with them, and there's no doubt in my mind. Everybody has a side on that. It's not like other teams.
No.
Like, for instance, I'm just gonna say, like, go look at, I'd say, the Atlanta Braves. You either were brainwashed by Ted Turner or you weren't.
Yes.
Like the Cubs, you were brainwashed by WGN or you weren't.
You were brainwashed by the stadium.
Yeah.
The Cubs are a stadium issue.
Yeah.
And it is an absolute dive of a place.
That sounds like it's for true. But we're about to wrap up the show. Thanks for everybody for listening in. Thanks to Nico Yanko, Christian Clark, and John Hendricks. We'll be back tomorrow with a brand new edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports. Good night, everybody.